First and foremost, why y'all let that lady always come up here? Why y'all let that lady come up here? Y'all know she gonna come up here every time she get up here, give a mini sermon, and then y'all expect somebody else to come up here and talk. Every time. Because she can't help herself. But if it's in God's will, it's in God's will. Dear Heavenly Father, as always, just guide my words and let there be less of me and more of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Here's where I'm going to start. Isaiah 40, 31. And this is the New Living Translation. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The New International Version. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And then the King James Version. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. As you can see by the lovely little title thing that my aunt made and put together, the title of my sermon is Red Light, Green Light. Yeah, Angelica, Vic, can y'all go ahead and come on up and take your time, because I know got my goddaughter back there half asleep. If y'all want to stand down there. How many of y'all know about the game, the kids' game, Red Light, Green Light? So essentially the premise of the game is I turn around, I say green light. They start moving. Usually there's some sort of countdown or whatever, but I say red light, and they're supposed to stop. And see, what makes this game kind of difficult is that if you get caught, as Angelica just did, and I didn't think she was actually gonna get caught. I was gonna use her as an example, but she got caught.
Again?
No, it was perfect. It's exactly what I wanted. You gotta start all the way over. And the game continues, green light, until somebody comes and gets to the person who's, you know, who's calling red light, green light. And in this case, of course, Vic was going to win. So, but anyway, sometimes y'all can go away. Sometimes dealing with God is like playing a game of red light, green light. Usually when you ask for stuff from God, there's three answers he can give you. Yes, no, and wait. And it's that third answer that we usually have a real big problem with. God likes to test our patience a lot. And I've realized a lot over the, you know, past few years that God has tested my patience a lot. I even had a conversation with somebody last night that I was like, as I'm sitting here asking you to be patient, I'm sitting here not being patient myself. So I need to work on that. So, a lot, like I said, a lot of times, yes, no, wait. So when God says green light, go, run. Please go do whatever God tells you to do.
Amen.
But when he says red light, stop. Because he is laser focused on you. And if you make even one sudden movement, there could be consequences.
Amen.
Whenever you do something that is out of the will of God, regardless of whatever's going on, there's the potential to be consequences. We'll go ahead and go to Numbers 20, starting at the first verse. In the first month of the year, the whole community of Israel arrived in the wilderness of Zin. While they were there, Miriam died and was buried. There was no water for the people to drink at that place, so they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. The people blamed Moses and said, "If only we had died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought the congregation of the Lord's people into the wilderness to die along with all our livestock? Why did you make us leave Egypt and bring us here to this terrible place? This land has no grain, no figs, no grapes, no pomegranates, and no water to drink." Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock." So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord, and he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. "Listen, you rebels," he shouted. "Must we bring you water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff, and water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving them." Consequences. Consequences for not listening to the Lord. Consequences for not doing what the Lord says. Let's go here. How many people have been promised something by the Lord? How many people have been promised $1 million by the Lord? Okay. All right. Just seeing. Ain't nobody messing with you, Janice. So, genuinely, whatever God has promised you, he'll give it to you. But what are you going to do in the meantime? Did God tell you to wait and listen? Did God tell you to go do this for him? Did God tell you to go do that for him? What are we doing? What are we doing in the meantime while we wait for his promise? Because we have to remember, like, if God promised it to you, it's within his will. And God's not going to give you anything outside of his will. God's not going to give you anything that's going to destroy you. God's not going to give you anything that's going to hurt you in any way, shape, or form. Sometimes God tells you to wait so you will be in the right position to adequately use that promise. So if God had happened to give you $1 million and God promised this to you when you were 15, what do you think a 15-year-old is going to do with $1 million? I like him. He said, buy games. Among other things that probably have nothing to do with the will of the Father. What do you think maybe a 20-year-old will do? Maybe something similar. Maybe something a little bit more responsible. Maybe buy a car. Maybe that money wasn't meant to be used to buy a car. If it was, all well and good. And then as you get older, you would assume that people would use the money in a more responsible way. But just because you've gotten older does not mean that you're going to do the will of the Father. You need to have a mature growth in God before God can actually give you that promise, before God can actually give you the thing that you desire. If you're not in that right position, whatever God has promised you, no matter what it is, it's just not going to be used right. So we have to make sure that we're within the will of the Father before we can expect God to make these promises. Now don't get me wrong. Like, there's some promises that God will just, boom, right then and there, done. If God promises to heal you, sometimes, yeah, he'll make you wait, but there's something that you need to do while you're waiting. Maybe you need to pray for somebody else. Maybe you need to see what's around you and see all the people that are hurting around you that know how you feel and also need a blessing from God. Maybe that's what you need to do while God waits to heal you. Sometimes God just moves, and God does whatever he's gonna do, and boom, healed right in an instant. We've seen it happen before. We've seen it happen in the Bible. Some of us have seen it happen in real life. You just don't question God, though. There's a reason for everything. I'm going to go ahead and go to Psalms 37 and 7. And I'm going to kind of go through these quickly, so I don't really expect y'all to follow me completely. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. And we're going to move a little bit farther back to Romans 8, starting at verse 18. And yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Continuing on to Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Amen. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Amen. Again, patience, obedience, all that kind of ties in together when it comes to God's will. But also at the same time, I know I'm talking a lot about us and our patience, but God has to be patient too, believe it or not. 2 Peter, I just lost my spot. It's okay though. 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord really isn't being slow about his promise, as some people think. He is being patient for your sake. Amen. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. I'm just going to use she as an example because she uses herself as an example a lot. Umpteen years ago, she got saved. Some of us know some of the stuff she did before she got saved. And hopefully all of us know who she is now. But let's say God wasn't patient with she. Let's say God, the day before she was supposed to get saved, said, nah, right now, I need her to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost right now. But she wasn't there. And God was like, eh, okay, I'm done with her then. And just pushed her to the side. But it says that God even has patience with us.
Hallelujah.
Which, quite frankly, we all should be grateful for. Because if he didn't, like I said, God could just... Think about it this way. Let's say God looked at the sin that Adam and Eve did and was like, nope, this was wrong, and just said, just wipe the slate clean. None of us would be here. But God had patience with even Adam and Eve when they lived in what was thought to be a perfect world. They had everything they need. They wanted for nothing. They had dominion over everything. They were the top tier here on earth. There was nothing that could top them. And they still went and messed it up. And we're not worried about who we place some blame on. They messed up collectively. Collectively. They messed up. But God gave them a second chance. Second chance with a caveat, but a second chance. God has so much patience with us.
Amen.
Patience that we, quite frankly, don't deserve, but he gives to us.
Amen.
So, if God has patience with us, why shouldn't we have patience in anything? In life, in our relationship with God, in knowing that having patience will lead to us doing God's will. Why? Why can't we do that? But there's three words that continue to come up across these few scriptures, or a lot of scriptures that I gave. And that was trust, hope, and wait. And I guess this is kind of how I'm going to end it. At the beginning, I read Isaiah 40:31. And I read three different versions. First version said, trust in the Lord. Second version says, put your hope in the Lord. And the third version says, wait on the Lord. Now, essentially, of course, they all mean the same thing. But you got to trust in the Lord. You got to put your hope in the Lord.
Amen.
And you got to wait. Again, sometimes dealing with the Lord is just like a big children's game. Red light, green light. When God says green light, run. Run like nobody else's business. Because he's not going to let you do. He's not going to tell you to do anything that's not of him. But when he says red light, stop, wait, you will be better off for it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word on patience. I know it's not necessarily the most traditional way to give your word. But you also have usually never had me give your word in a traditional way. So I thank you for allowing me to do that. But I also thank you for allowing me to have the patience to realize that this is the way that you want me to go about things. I thank you for the patience that you're continuing to work in me and in all of us, because we all truly do need the patience. And I just continue to ask you to not only continue to work with us with our patience, but continue to give us your patience because that's something that we also desperately need, dear Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.